Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Jackson Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening, either 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11. You're going to get the facts and the truth, and you're going to get here. You won't get media lies, you won't get media falsehoods, you won't get the big lie. That will not be the object of this show. The object of this show is truth and honesty. However, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to call it the money culture, because I think our culture in the West, in the United States, is connected and based on wealth and money. I disagree with that. I don't think it's a culture. Money is not a culture. It is part of an economic system. It's a means of exchange. But it really has no meaning in terms of our culture. But the culture that we have seems to revolve around money. However, I'm going to talk about a little bit of my background, and then I'll go into this subject a bit, partially, and possibly finish it tomorrow. This is a politically incorrect show. That is to say, the show is not concerned with media hype, media falsehoods, the big lie, or anything like that, or media propaganda. We're not concerned with that, and we don't believe that in this show. We try to get at the truth and the facts as much as we can, and we try to hone in on honesty and honest discernment and intellectual honesty. Second thing, the show is a Christian show. I'm a Christian, but I say that I welcome all faiths and all forms of thought, all ideas, all opinions. I think Jesus has love for all men and women, regardless of their race or sex or sexual orientation, whatever who they are. He wants, or as it says in Timothy, he wills that all men be in heaven with him. That is his object. That is what he cares about. He cares about all people and all thoughts and all ideas and all opinions and all races and all nations. As a Christian, I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I also adhere to the creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Athanasian, and Nicene Creed. And if I read books, I'll read great books such as Milton's Paradise Lost, Milton's Paradise Regained, and T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society, and G.K. Chesterton, and John Bunyan, and Calvin, Luther, and Bonhoeffer, and Aquinas, and of course St. Paul, the greatest religious thinker that ever lived, in my opinion, and of course St. Augustine and his book on Confessions. Third, this show has a political emphasis. I am a conservative, but I also follow Christ in his direction as to what I should do with my life, and I am very concerned with poverty and underclass people. I care about them. I want to raise them up to the income level that they should share with the middle-class population. And Jesus was very concerned with poverty, and many of his followers were sinners, poor people, underclass people, who said of him, who is this man, these republicans are sinners. It was also said of him, did anything good come out of Nazareth? His followers were sinners, meaning ritual law and moral sinners, and the people he chose to be his disciples were working men and people not with a lot of money, and he himself lived a life of poverty. I'm not saying you should, I don't think Jesus wants people to be poor, but he does take the position that poverty can be a barrier to spiritual belief and Christian belief. Now, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. And these shows are Christian shows, and they have a wide number of range of visitors from all over the world. Over 4,300 people have visited my podcast show, and many people from Muslim countries have visited my blog talk radio show. And I have to say that one of my best friends is a philosophy student from Iran, a Muslim, was quite taken with one of my Christian books, which indicates to me the intellectual ability of that particular individual. They're willing to listen and willing willing to learn, and I'm willing to dialogue with my Muslim brothers and sisters and speak to them and understand them and of course love them as Jesus loves them with great immeasurable greatness. For every Hindu, every Muslim, every Buddhist to me is an opportunity to present the love of Christ that is theirs. Jesus loves them, he died for them, and wants them to be with him in heaven, every single person, regardless of their race or background. Next, I've written 10 books. I'm a writer, and these books are Christian books and legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. And I've written Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables. The parables are great material in the Gospels. They represent the thought of Christ and his ideas in a very profound level. And this book on the parables seeks to interpret all 41 parables. I've also recently written a book on the Psalms, an interpretation of 150 Psalms. The Psalms are great spiritual treasures of the church. John Donne said of the Psalms, the great Anglican poet said of the Psalms that they were the manna of the church. They are great spiritual food. Their greatness is obvious. They are literary treasures. I read them in Hebrew, at least some of them in Hebrew in seminary. I've read many of them in English and memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm. I cannot read them more often and often enough. They are so great as literary treasures and as spiritual treasures. They direct us to God and to Christ. They speak to us in the person of God and Christ. And their greatness is obvious. I can't stop reading the Psalms and never will, because they are there. They are so great in thought and in presentation. They are spiritual treasures in every way. I urge you and your family, sit down with your children and read the Psalms, and read them again until you've never stopped reading them. That's really what I'm about. I also have written other books. I've recently written a book on the blogs, 4 blog books of my blogs. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. Can't understand the Bible without understanding that it is a miraculous, supernatural event. And if you can approach the Bible, you'd better suspend your secularism for the miraculous and for the supernatural. Next, as I said, I've written a chapter on paternity in New York Family Law and Practice. I've written a chapter called Res Gestae on evidence, in Bender's evidence. I've written an encyclopedia chapter in New York Jurisprudence on New York criminal law, demands and notices. I'm presently preparing a book on the Book of Job. Job was an Edomite. He wasn't Jewish. But in the Book of Job presents the trials that God laid upon Job. And I say this, ladies and gentlemen, the Book of Job is a great intellectual and spiritual and literary treasure. I urge you to read the Book of Job and never stop reading it. You will learn what God wants to tell you in the Book of Job. I'm preparing other books. I've written 3 major law review articles, one on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, which is bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. And it's been bought by many universities throughout the world, North, South America, Africa, and Asia. In addition, I've written 2 articles for Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal. And this journal has had very wide circulations in many universities throughout the world. And I've written on the United States educational system and on sexual orientation discrimination. I may not agree with people, our gay brothers and sisters, in their choices, but I don't want them persecuted. I don't want them discriminated against. I want them treated with love and consideration. I want them to be with, and God wants them to be in heaven with them. Christ wants them to be in heaven with him, and I want to be in heaven with our gay brothers and sisters. regardless of who they are or what they do. As for the United States educational system, that article, I pinpointed the problems of our educational system. They are not assigning the right books in the least. They're taking the position that every book you study, that you read has to be within 2 years old, which is nonsense. The great books are old. The poor books are new. They haven't been vetted and tested. Now, I'm going to talk about our culture or our lack of a culture. The present system in the United States and in many parts of the world might be termed free market capitalism. The capitalist economic system is based on acquisition and greed. And that seems to be our culture. The idea behind it is that if all of us are given some sort of a equal starting point in a free market economy, business will be created, jobs created, and society advanced. This system maintains the idea that a person with a particular concept or idea is given a chance in this system to build a business on the basis of that idea. The idea can take the form of a Starbucks or Kentucky Fried Chicken. But let me tell you about this this capitalist system and this money culture of ours, which I'm not happy with. Behind the capitalist system and this money culture lies the idea and concept that if people are given the motivation of greed to advance themselves materially, the entire society benefits by jobs, goods, and services being created. So let me say this. The capitalist system is based on acquisition and greed, which is why I am not happy with it as a cultural phenomenon. It's based on acquisition and greed. The idea behind it is theoretically that if all of us are given some sort of equal starting point in this so-called free market, businesses will be created, jobs created, and society advanced. The system maintains the notion, I think it's a false notion, that a person with a particular concept or idea is given the chance in this system to build a business on the basis of that idea, whether Starbucks or Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I think more exactly in this money, so-called money culture and capitalist system lies the idea, the concept, that if people are given the motivation of greed to advance themselves, the entire society benefits. So the whole system, this money culture, is based on greed and wealth. And I disagree with it. I'm not happy with it. It's something that I don't believe in. I don't think it's I think it may be an economic system. It is not a culture, but it has become our culture. Many people argue that socialism and communism have been tried and failed. The last communist bastions are Cuba and North Korea. Both are impoverished social and economic systems. I'm not sure whether capitalism is the best system, and I think it's based on greed and money, but I think it should be regulated since it results in great inequities of wealth and the creation and continuance of class structures. I'm a little unhappy with this greed and money culture in capitalism. I'm not sure whether capitalism is the best system, but I think it should be regulated since it results in great unfairness and inequities of wealth and the creation of continuance of class structures. I would say and suggest that socialism has its points since it eliminates class structures, attempts to equalize wealth, provides free schooling and jobs for all. As I said, at this point in time, socialism and communism are not very successful systems. However, in this, I find two faults with this money culture, which is really what we seem to be living in. I don't think it's a culture. Capitalism and money are economic factors. They are economic systems. But they have sort of become our culture. And so I have to say that I find greed and money as its sole aims and basis of life defective. When money and greed and getting stuff for yourself are made the sole objective, the entire system is degraded in this desire for money, and people may not care about their work or what they're doing. Many simply game to get as much money and do as little can. The big may be doctors who are solely focused on money and have no particular commitment to their patients or profession. The same may be true of lawyers. I think when we have this desire for money, desire society is degraded. And many persons may not care about their work or what they are doing or care about other people at all. Many simply aim to get as much money as possible and do as little as they can. So there might be doctors who are solely focused on money and have no commitment to their patients. And the same may be true of lawyers. So, in fact, where the sole desire and object of the occupation or task is money, it degrades our society and disintegrates it. And let me give you some examples. We all know that we may go to an auto mechanic and routinely be told we need a brake job, a new transmission, or a new battery. There's a good chance that the mechanic has simply taken the easy path of making the consumer spend money without the mechanic having really taken the trouble and time to find out what's wrong with the car. That's one example. In other words, where the money is made the sole desire, and degradation and disintegration occur. The corruption and fraud connected with desire for money takes a number of forms. And I think that desire for money can result in corruption and fraud. But it takes a number of forms. That form may be the imposition of excessive charges on the part of the business person or professional, when that person knows well that minimal or little work is actually involved. Our politicians regularly say they write books. Maybe they do. And I make no claim they do not. But knowing the difficulty of producing a book, the politicians claim to have done so is somewhat questionable. These are examples of our society being degraded and corruption and fraud being connected with the desire for money. One may think possibly the many books that are produced by notable figures, whether politicians, movie stars, or sports figures, are not actually produced by their own efforts, although this cannot be actually proved, but only questions. Most of us know that to do a 300- or 400-page book is extremely laborious and time-consuming. Again, one can only conclude the desire for money and fame has brought about this particular situation. So, you have to say here that the desire for money in a culture such as ours, based on greed and acquisition, is that not only is the work product degraded, but the object of the person's efforts is degraded, and the person is downgraded to simply being getting as much money as they can. In some sense, when money is the only consideration, we are pulled down and the intellectual underpinnings of our system are brought to nothing. Our system seems to be telling people that as long as you make money, that's all that counts. Your system also says that what is not connected with money is of no value. That would include buying a Bible for $5 as opposed to purchasing a Lexus for £30. Where money is the only object and greed the sole purpose, whatever good we may do comes to nothing. I'm going to talk about this again tomorrow night, but I have a second criticism of money and greed culture. When money is made the sole criterion and benchmark, there will not and cannot be any love. If people are only seen as economic commodities, love is out the window. In a relationship based on money, where either partner, man and woman, chooses their husband or wife on the basis of wealth, there cannot be love in that relationship. Where money is the main factor, there is no love. So I'm absolutely convinced that a materialistic money culture is destructive of the chance of love functioning in that system. Love can only be found where something that occurs besides wealth, money, or acquisition, when these are not the factors. Capitalist culture, taken to the extreme extent, is based on money and greed, and I think in many ways it eradicates any chance for love in our society, which people are desperately seeking through online dating, personal advertisements, and casual sexual encounters. People are desperate to find love, yet our system, based on money and wealth, and material goods doesn't work for them. That is the problem, and that is the way it is. Where wealth and money and the acquisition there is the only factor, there is can be no love. That is my opinion. I will discuss this again tomorrow night, this entire matter about greed and money. But I have to conclude with this statement that money and greed are not cultural. They are economic. They may be good in terms of an economic system, but as a culture, they're pathetic. Money is not a cultural aspect. It's nonsense to believe that, and it's stupid to believe it. Culture is opera. Culture is painting. Culture is books. Culture is literature. Culture is anything but money. Money is not a culture. It is a economic basis of our society. We need it, but it all is basically just about economics, not about culture. Understand that, and you'll understand why we are so confused in our cultural setup at this point in time. Good night.